Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water. We'll rise above the mist with a little peace and some harmony. We'll take the world together. We'll take them by the hand.
Time to take a drive around the SEC.
Brought to you by Love Chevy. Act now for Springtacular Savings on the best selection of new Chevys. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
All right, smooth segue into another installment of the Love Chevy Drive Around the SEC, brought to you by the great folks over there at Harbison, led by the King, Ben Hoover. Does a terrific job, also home of the $1,000 low price guarantee. We'll start with college basketball. It's kind of funny how the narrative just completely changes day to day, round to round. So the SEC took a bit of a beating on the first day. Hold on.
Go Permian Panthers, by the way.
Go Permian.
Big Booby Miles fan here.
Me too.
Except I have a Corpus knee. I think we all.
I have a Booby Miles jersey, but the last name is spelled M Y L E E S.
There's a talk show in Atlanta, the afternoon show, Chuck and Chernoff. And they just had a producer leave. They had like two producers, and one of the guys was in charge of like all the drops, and he had kind of a sick sense of humor. So every now and then with sad news or something would come, a bad story, he would play the Boogie Miles when he's crying when he realizes like his career is over with the knee injury. What am I going to do? And they would play that. Damn, that's cold, but it was kind of funny. If you just can imagine. We were much more sensitive around here on ITG, of course. Like I was saying, the narrative.
Mike?
Oh, is Mike just
Mike,
muted?
Mike, you just hit you. Mike,
we've lost your audio. Something.
Yeah, you bumped. Try to unmute yourself.
In StreamYard.
In StreamYard.
There it
there
is.
There you go.
It still can't
nope.
hear.
Jeez. Now it's his mic. His lights aren't on.
We Golden love you, Tones? Mike.
Golden Tones? There's no mic.
Tacitum.
Mike? 3-2. Mike doesn't have a mic.
There's
hey, Mike. There it is. Yeah. All right. Your last word was narrative. Your last word was narrative. So, pick it up at narrative.
Mike? 1-2. Mike check.
Yeah, you're good, Mike. Yeah, you're good.
You're good. We got you. Your last word was narrative, so pick it up there.
And he just went muted.
Man, you're muted again.
What's happening in Florida?
What is this? Weather. Being attacked.
Mike, why don't you see if you can reboot it real quick, and I'll dish a couple of quick national things out, and then we'll come back into the drive around the SEC. How about that? Yeah. Yeah, Mike!
Get him out, get him back in.
Boom.
Oh man! Wow!
Just kill the music too, if you can.
While the Golden Tones works on the mic issues that literally came out of nowhere. Interesting. If you haven't checked them yet, the point spreads for the Final Four are actually rather interesting. 8.5 in favor of Purdue in that 1-11 matchup at 6:09 on Saturday evening, and then Bama's an 11.5 point dog against UConn at 8:49 Saturday evening. But here's the thing, guys. Don't be cutting on the television on Saturday night and turning to CBS and going, where's the Final Four? Because it's on TBS. If you have not paid attention this year, TBS rotates on and picks that up. So, and one other quick note too on DJ Burns, is big and round as he is, 6'9", 275. Yeah, huge. I get it. We all know Zach Edey's 7'4". Zach Edey is also 300 pounds. So there's going to be 575 pounds of beef in the paint against each other and approximately 14 feet in height. Crazy stuff. We got you back now, Mike?
I think so.
There we are.
I don't know what happened. You
yeah, that was strange. Pretty strange.
I swear I didn't touch a button. I didn't hit a knob. I didn't do anything. Somebody clearly just wanted to sabotage the Love Chevy drive around the SEC, and we won't stand for it. In fact,
they did a great job.
They did a thank you, Jamie. The love is on this side of the table, quote the Bobs in Office Space. Can we get some music back there, Phil?
Yeah, let's bring the band back in here.
Bring the band back. Apparently,
they were like, Mike's not here. They're not going.
Everybody just left me. Back now. Yeah. Already like going around. It's what I'm trying to say. And hopefully the mic will stay up for this segment, is that the narrative changed. Like the first couple of days, everybody in the SEC, not everybody, but quite a few teams took it on the chin. It's, the SEC is overrated. Then all of a sudden, you know, A&M flirts with the Sweet 16, Tennessee and Auburn make the Sweet 16. And before you know it, you had a chance of half the Final Four being from the SEC. Tennessee did not come through with that, playing a virtual road game at Purdue. And Alabama did come through, pulling off an upset in their own right. So where do we stand now with the SEC in the Final Four? Well, Bama is getting 11.5 points from UConn. They are plus 1,600 to win the whole thing. Plus 1,600. So we'll see if you're looking. That's the longest shot of any team to win it all. It's Alabama. By the way, you also have Georgia in the NIT Final Four. I know who cares, what have you, but for Mike White and that program, which has been a classic underachiever for a long, long time, those games actually mean something for them. They're trying to kind of get their footing. They got a good recruiting class coming in. As JC has pointed out a number of times, some of their best players this year were younger players that they hope will come back. So we shall see. In Major League Baseball, opening day came and went. Anybody want to guess what conference has the most players on opening day rosters?
SoCon.
Sun Belt.
Man, I was going to say Mountain West.
Maybe the SEC, and if I'm not mistaken, I think Mississippi State and Vandy have the most players too, right?
Yes. Well, no. You're half right. You're half right. So the SEC leads the way with 88 for I don't know how many years in a row. By the way, you want to guess what conference is second?
SoCon.
All right. Is anybody that have a non-smart ass remark to this?
I'd say
question?
The ACC. I'd say the ACC.
I'd say the Big 12 or Pac 12.
It's the Pac. Yeah. Or what we the artist formerly known as the Pac.
Yeah.
So 88, the program that has the most of any team is Louisville. 9 guys. Catcher Will Smith's an all-star. Adam Duvall still going around. Nick Birdie still throwing 100 miles an hour and giving up walk-off grannies to the Gauchos to go to Omaha. Arizona State is second with 8, tied with Vandy and Florida. So, Jamie, you were half right. Vandy and Florida each have 8. Wyatt Langford, by the way.
Ah, crazy.
Starting on opening day.
Yeah.
Last June. Hit. Yeah. He has hit 333. Last June, he was in a Florida uniform in the postseason. And now he's on an MLB roster. That does not happen very often, especially for an everyday player. Usually you got to get a hell of a lot more cuts in the minors before you're ready to make it to the show. But Vandy, Florida with 8. Arkansas, Mississippi State, A&M with 7. LSU with 6. And Ole Miss with 5. I also have the...
Gamecocks have 5.
Correct. Sorry, I was about to mention all 5 of their names. Oh. I had that right here, as it just happens to turn out. You know, these always work a lot better when your mic doesn't cut off in the middle of the segment and papers start flying, but I'm not going to be fazed by it. Jonah Bride, Whit Merrifield, Carmen Wladinski,
Majinski. Clark,
what's that?
Majinski.
Majinski, yeah. Clark Schmidt, and of course, Christian Walker. Again, I'm happy to see Whit in the National League. That would be a welcome addition to see him more, especially
in Atlanta. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot more.
How many
Gamecock
games
do they
play in Atlanta, Mike? Like,
well, it used to be, I think they finally have adjusted the schedule, but it used to be you would play your Eastern Division opponents 19 times.
Yeah.
So he would come either 9 or 10 times to Truist Park. I'll have to double check with the new format how that's changed.
Looking at this, not to get you off track here,
yeah,
but you don't see this often, and unless I'm just bat blank blind here, but the Phillies don't come to Atlanta for their first trip of the year until July the 5th.
Wow. So they backloaded it. You know why they did that? Because those are the two teams predicted to battle for the East as the Braves try to win 7 in a row. So they're just trying to get as many of those when it really matters. Here's my thing on baseball. When somebody says, hey, you know, the Braves are 2.5 games out of first on April the 22nd, I don't care. Until it's mid-May, I don't even look at the standings. For college baseball, we're now at the point where everybody in the SEC, at least, has played, 9 conference games. After next weekend against A&M, everybody will have 12. That's when I really start paying attention. That means everybody's played 2 conference series at home and 2 on the road. Obviously, it's not all the same. You know, somebody gets to pick on Missouri, somebody doesn't. But you get a better idea of who is what at that point in the season. So I'll go over these polls, but they'll carry a lot more weight, and the standings will carry a lot more weight to me after next weekend. But yes, D1 baseball has a new poll out. Arkansas won 23-3. They put together a 4-0 week. They swept LSU. That ain't easy to do. Clemson 2, A&M 3, Tennessee 4. The Beavers, nice Beaver. Number 5, Florida 6, Vandy 7. Dallas Baptist at 8. I actually did a game there. They have a phenomenal stadium. Like, that is their sport. They are legit. They're 8, Duke 9. Tar Heels 10, Alabama 13, Kentucky 17. Kentucky just pulled off its first ever sweep in Oxford. LSU dropping to 18. Carolina dropping to 22 from 18 a week ago. 22. And, of course, the standings in the East, Kentucky number 1 at 8-1. They will battle Arkansas. So the two top teams with the top records, I should say, will go head-to-head this coming week. We'll see just how good Kentucky is. Vandy and Florida tied for 2nd at 6-3. Tennessee and Carolina tied for 3rd in the East at 5-4. All right, going to segue to football to wrap things up here. I get it. The poll means nothing. We could beat up Athlon on this, or you could just kind of take it with a grain of salt. What I found interesting, just doing a deep dive on the quarterbacks for next season in the SEC, remember there's 16 teams now. Eight are returning starters. Eight will be newbies. Of course, Carolina will be one of the eight that have newbies. So this particular – and they're not that different. Like, they're all around the same. So before you pounce on where they have Sellers rated, he's within two or three spots in almost every one of these polls. And a lot of people are actually high on Lenore Sellers. There's one guy from Yahoo. It's like, wait till you see this guy. He's going to be a star. But as of right now, this is from Athlon. Carson Beck won for Georgia. Anybody going to argue that? Anybody? Mueller?
Kind of a Robbie Ashford guy, but I hear you.
Two, Jalen Monroe of Alabama. Three, Quinn Ewers of Texas. Four, Jackson Dart of Ole Miss. So the top four are all returning starters, and guess what they all have in common? They're all expected to have big years in the SEC, right? I mean, Georgia's going to be the preseason pick. Alabama's going to be right there close to them. Texas is going to be picked very highly. And people are all loving Ole Miss and Lane Kiffin right now with Jackson Dart back behind center. Number five on the list is the first newbie, and that's Nico over there in Knoxville, who did start a Citrus Bowl, went 12-19 for 151. But again, it's his first year as a regular starter. And you've got Brady Cook. What does he have in common? Another returning starter. So five out of the first six in the rankings are returning starters. Then you've got Garrett Nussmeier of LSU. Nussmeier's been good enough to play for a while, but obviously when you're playing behind the Heisman Trophy winner, you don't get a whole lot of reps. But he's at seven. Connor Wigman of A&M, eight. Jackson Arnold of Oklahoma, he's a newbie, nine. Five-star prospect in the 23 class, JC, is Mr. Arnold. I don't know much else about him, but...
There's a reason Dylan Gabriel went to Oregon. So.
Yeah. So Dylan heard footsteps is what you're saying.
That's the word out of Oklahoma. Yeah.
I believe it. I've never been a big Dylan Gabriel guy. He started the Alamo Bowl against Arizona. He did throw three picks and 361 yards. Very Brett Favre-ish. Graham Mertz of Florida, 10. A returner. Peyton Thorne of Auburn, 11. Blake Shapen, newbie for Mississippi State, playing in that Jeff Lebby new offense. He had a kind of an up-and-down career at Baylor. Diego Pavia at Vanderbilt, 13. Transfer from New Mexico State. I got nothing. 14, Brock Vandegrift for Kentucky, former Georgia Bulldog. 16, dead last, is Talon Green of Arkansas, the Boise State transfer. And 15, Lenore Sellers. South Carolina. It says, although the sample size is small, the optimism meter in Columbia is running high after Sellers has shined in limited action. As a true freshman in three games last year, Sellers ran for a 36-yard score against Vandy and completed all four pass attempts for 86 yards and two scores against Furman. The South Carolina native still has plenty of room to grow, but the limited action in 23 and skill set suggest a breakout first year as the starter. I mean, that's overwhelmingly positive when you read that. But when they rank it, he's bottom third in just about every poll, just because he's new.
Absolutely.
Your thoughts, gentlemen?
Yahoo had him 12th, and I think that's a little more fair. I mean, having the kid from Baylor is a joke. I think the kid from New Mexico State I really love as a player, and I think that's smart for Vandy to go hire his OC. I mean, they beat Auburn, right? And he could play. Mm-hmm. He's tough. He's the kind of guy they need, but, I mean – I don't know how you can be serious and put him above Sellers. I don't know how, you know, I think this person that wrote this for Athlon is a slave to the rankings. You know, oh, five stars, my God. Brock Vandegrift, on what planet is he a better player than Lenore Sellers? There's not one. I've seen enough of him and Lenore's both to know. I mean, so... but hey, look, Lenore's had three stars by his name. I think that's good. I think that a lot of times programs that are not amongst the blue bloods in the SEC, and sometimes the ones we think are blue bloods that have all these outlandish expectations, Tennessee last year, Kentucky a few years ago, Missouri, the Kelly Bryant year, they tend to fall on their face. And it's because they're not as good as everybody's talking them up to be. And I think there's something mental that gets into that, because these teams that overachieve in this league, they forget why they overachieve. They overachieve because they outworked everybody and they caught some breaks and they played above themselves. And then they're like, we've arrived, and they don't. So if you're South Carolina, rank them 15, 16, 18, kick them out of the league. I don't care. You know, I'm ready for it. All the fans out there need to be ready for it. This is not going to be an off season of praise for Shane Beamer and the South Carolina Gamecocks. And a lot of it is because of the unknown, and people don't want to dig any deeper. You know, Sellers is below Peyton Thorne. That's tough too.
Yeah. You know,
that's a tough one to read. And look, the kid from Boise State was very productive. I don't understand if you're going to base it on, if you compare the kid from, take Sellers out of it, you compare the kid from Boise State at Arkansas to the kid from Baylor. I mean, to me, that type of thinking is, oh, Oklahoma runs this big old spread offense, and Jeff Levy was Lane Kiffin. He's Art Briles' son-in-law. So, boy, they're going to light it up. Hmm. It doesn't always work that way, man. I mean, I just – when Oklahoma did not have a quarterback, they did not do that well. So, I don't know. I don't know a lot of thought goes into these. But, you know, if I could have a show literally, guys, every day and criticize the off-season lists – from start to finish, and it would be a terrible show. So I'm gonna shut up now. But I think that's low for Lenore Sellers. 12th, 10th, something like that. Yeah, because guys like Brady Cook and Graham Mertz had really good years last year. I mean, you don't want to put a newbie over him. I guess.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, that's the takeaway for me. And you have the calculus right, I think, JC, for where a lot of these guys are coming from. They go on two things. Proven track records, which obviously Sellers doesn't have yet. And B, if it is a newbie, well, how many stars were next to his name coming out of high school? And he was a 3-star, not a 5-star. So it's kind of lazy analysis. The bigger takeaway for me, because I could have read 10 more of these lists, and he's going to rank anywhere between 11 and 16, is that you've got 8 returning starters and you've got 8 newbies. And the teams that have the 8 returning starters, with a couple of exceptions, they're all projected to have big years. I mean, when you look at it, there's such an advantage when you have a guy who's already been there, done that, knows the offense, knows what it's like to go play on the road in front of 95,000 screaming fans. And I would say this for those that are hating on the SEC and hoping there's a dip off. Well, that all starts with quarterback. And when you've got Beck, Milroe, Ewers, Dart, Nico, Cook at the top of the list, this just in, there's going to be a lot of good quarterback play again in the SEC in 2024. And that is your Love Chevy drive around the SEC.
You can tell the
I Love Chevy, where the inventory is overflowing and the deals are in full bloom. I-26 at Harbison and at lovechevy.com. Together, let's drive.
Yes!
Thank you, Mr. Wrap up the segment guy.
Walking on the post.
I will say Mike's right. I do think there's a lot of depth in that position in this league. But, I mean, Connor Weigman is middle of the pack, right? For A&M. Has he ever been healthy for a whole year? No.
That's been a problem, yeah.
I mean, you know, good player, talented player. I mean, Garrett Nussmeier, okay. I like him. I like Garrett. I think he's a good quarterback. Then the blurb lists like 3 stud receivers. Like, do you realize LSU's receivers last year, they weren't 19 good, but they were – those guys are going to be drafted top 2 rounds. So they're just going to go roll out whoever and replace those guys? Really?
I mean, LSU does recycle a lot of stud receivers, but I don't think they're going to recycle those 2 top 10 picks nothing. I think once you get past those top names I mentioned, and I do think Nico would be the deal, we'll see. But once you get past those top 6, no, I put Graham Mertz in there. I mean, like top 7. Yeah. Once you get past the top 7 or so, I think you're picking names out of the hat. And so much of it's going to depend on, like every other one of these guys. Does Carolina have a line that blocks this year? It can only go up. Does Carolina have a running game where they got a hell of a stud from Arkansas and Rocket Sanders that, no offense to the previous stable, he's just a different kind of dude. He's a different level athlete. And then the pass, you know, wideouts, tight ends, that remains to be seen. You lose obviously a potential first rounder in Leggett. That hurts a little bit, but
we'll see. Find a tight end. A receiver is a question, but you know, they're working on that. I want to see who ends up coming out of spring as a starter. You know, it may be Larva Dane from Miami of Ohio and true freshman Mazio Bennett as things stand today. But yeah, tight end, they do have Josh Simon back. I think he's a guy you can stick out at receiver and stuff. I mean, I don't know. You know, it depends. I will say running back too, Rocket is great. But Attaway and the kid Howell from South Carolina State are really good too. And the kid Fuller coming in from high school that played for J-Bo Shaw was one of the bigger senior risers in Georgia. So it looks like they fixed that spot, and there was no excuse for it to be like it was. Mike made that point. No more. I think Mike said more, Shannon.
No more.
This can't be like this. So they're back, you know. We'll see. I just, I get it. And I knew that Lenora Sellers would not get a lot of external hype this offseason because of his star rating. He's an in-state kid. Believe it or not, did not have a huge, lengthy offer list. Was going to Syracuse. I guarantee you, had he gone to Syracuse, Dino Babers would still have a job. And we'd be talking about him a lot. or he'd have been in the portal and gone to Alabama or somewhere. So,
if you had a situation where – and Spencer Rattler didn't appear to be this kind of dude. It, correct me if I'm wrong, guys, but it sounded like if there was a bowl game, he was going to play in it. But let's just say, like a lot of these other schools coming off a 6-6, if Carolina had a 6-6 instead of a 5-7, and Spencer's advisor said, look, not worth it. Just sit this one out. And Lenoris played in the bowl game and played well. He might be number 8 on this list. I mean, that's the paper thin margin we're dealing with here. You're just dealing with a bunch of unknowns. And so he doesn't have a lot of stars next to his name, and he barely played last year, so they put him 13.
Like Nico and Nussmeier had bowl games. You know, Nussmeier went 31 right. for 45 for 391 in the bowl.
That's what I'm saying.
With those really good receivers, by the way.
Yeah.
And Nico had kind of, you know, 12 for 19 or something like that. And,
151.
My buddy has that run, man. I mean, you start, that's the thing. Hooker and Milton could run. They can't run like that cat. They couldn't run like that cat. And so if you think about that passing offense, which is crazy hard to stop anyway, and then all of a sudden dude can just take off and run for 20 yards. That could be problematic, sir. You know, when you're trying to stop the Vols next year. So I get it, but we'll see. I'm not going to complain at all this whole summer other than to criticize other quarterbacks that are ranked higher that I think are donkey.
Which is fair.
Yeah, I'm going to be mad whatever they want to rank Lenore Sellers. Just go ahead and rank
it. It doesn't matter.
Way.
Yeah.
And then we'll see what happens.
The point of the list is not where Lenore Sellers is ranked. I should have just, like, taken him out. And like you said, the Yahoo one has him higher. I've seen a couple where he's, again, out of 16, the median is probably around 13, 14. But the bigger story is what you're looking at this year in the SEC at the quarterback spot in terms of you got 8 returning starters and you got 8 newbies. The returning starters, by the way, are not just like guys that are winning by default. I know somebody, I guess RLE said, Jalen Miller is trash. Agree to disagree on that one, Jay. I mean, is he a great thrower? No, but he's a freakish athlete. He's not Joe Milton. Okay. Jalen Milroe is certainly, you wouldn't mind having Jalen Milroe in a Gamecock uniform for being honest about it. And I don't understand the Jackson Dart hate either. Like, I don't know. He threw for 33, 64, 23 touchdowns, 5 picks.
And they get system guy. Yeah. His play callers got him, which could be true. I mean, Jackson had a good run of it at the end at Southern Cal and then picked it up. He's picked it up at Ole Miss. I don't know. I like him. I think he's
good. Yeah. No, I mean, I'm not in love with him, but I certainly don't think he's, like, bad. I think he's going to be top 5 in everybody's list for a reason. I don't have no problem with that.
Well, what's crazy is Quinn Ewers, like, ranked 4th. Okay, so – is Quinn Ewers 4th because he's the 4th best in the SEC, or is Quinn Ewers 4th because they're the newcomers in the league and they have to kind of pay, they have to kiss the ring a little bit because he hasn't done it in the SEC, right? Or is he 4th because he had unrealistically stupid high expectations and he's been great, but just not like wow, all world Joe Burrow in 2019 great or Trevor Lawrence great. Is that he's probably better than fourth.
Well, it's
I think there's a lot of expectations with that kid.
Yeah. I mean, look, there were NFL scouts during last season that said he had the best NFL arm in college football last year. So, like, and you know, to go back to the Jackson Dart thing, we're not talking about NFL combine type stuff. I don't know where Jackson Dart projects, and I don't care. If he is a system quarterback, he's looking pretty damn good in that system. As they're winning a lot of games, he's throwing for a high completion and a lot of touchdowns. So give me that every day of the week. I don't care if he's got a next level arm or he's next. The same thing with Matt Corral. Matt Corral is now in the UFL. Matt Corral got drafted by the Carolina Panthers, had some, as I understand it, talking to a coach up there, psychological issues, among other things. He was fantastic. He was phenomenal when Lane Kiffin got to Oxford. Turned him into an all SEC caliber type quarterback. I don't care if Matt Corral, if you're a Carolina fan, do you care if Lenora's so? I mean, yeah, it'd be great if he makes it to the NFL. You know what I'd rather see? I'd rather see him be all SEC. That hadn't happened. Has Carolina ever had an all SEC quarterback? I mean, Connor Shaw was terrific. We know the importance of him. Was he all SEC? I don't think so. No. Spencer Rattler wasn't. I was on some talk show, and I think it was Kornblut was grilling me, going, how could you not have him all SEC? I said, Phil, do you look who's surrounding that list? It'd be nice for the Gamecocks just one time to have an all SEC quarterback. That would be a good thing to kind of build upon. Just saying.
The league is just so good. I mean, you're like,
well, yeah,
you know, it's tough.
I mean, but wouldn't it be nice to just like once in a blue moon? We all agree it's the most important position on the field, right? Okay, so Carolina's had a bunch of great defensive backs, wide receivers, linebackers, defensive ends. Wouldn't it be nice to just have a every Saturday you could tune in and say, yeah, that guy's second team all SEC quarterback. Forget about first. Yeah. Second team all SEC quarter. There's got to be one.
Rattler's
every program.
Well, that was it. I mean, with an O line, Rattler fills that position. I think last year, right? We could have easily been second team. But if the O line struggles hadn't have been there, yeah.
I mean, just look at the North Carolina game alone, Mike. I mean, dude threw for 330 and whatever, and got sacked what 11 times.
And was still.
I mean, you know, you cut that in half, he's probably throwing for 500 and the Gamecocks win the game.
I agree. Look, we all know he got a raw deal in his final year, in his showcase year for the NFL, which is why, and I was going to read a Mel Kiper quote, and because of everything else, we ran out of time. But he's likely going to be a third, fourth round pick at best. He's going to be no higher than the seventh quarterback selected. It's a loaded year for quarterbacks. It would have been a much more fair deal because he was never going to be a workout wonder. He's not that big. He's not that fast. His arm is strong, but there are arms that are stronger. That's just legit facts. But it would have been great to show the intangibles that I think he has, that if he had an offensive line that could block, if he had a running game, and he had a healthy receiving core all year, then maybe he would have put up all SEC quarterback numbers. But none of those things happened, and, of course, that never came to fruition.
Yeah. He'll still be the first one drafted since 1990 with Todd Ellis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It was the second to last round. And I think there were 12 rounds back then.
Back then, you had 12 rounds. I think Denver Broncos, like the ninth round. Yeah.
He got in one. I think he threw one pass in a preseason game and Dan Reeves cut him.
Yeah.
But that was it. You know, Anthony Wright started in the NFL. Connor Shaw started a game in the NFL. Since then, Anthony Wright started years. And then we had him on the show a couple times, but they weren't drafted. So that's been a weird thing. And you go through the years, you know, could Steven Garcia have been drafted had he played his best ball his last year? Said I got that probably because he had the size and the arm talent. Jake Bentley had been drafted. Absolutely. But he, you know, hurt himself, transferred to Utah, transferred to South Alabama, hurt himself again, gave up football. I don't know what the knock on Steve Tannehill was. Tannehill sort of fits that height mold like they like in the league, but he didn't get drafted. So I don't know, man. I mean, it's been.
Want to get him on. That'd be a good question to ask him.
Here. Yeah, they're bringing quarterbacks here through the years. It's just none of them have been drafted. I mean, honestly, you know, until Deshaun Watson, how long have they been Who was Clemson's last draft pick at quarterback? Steve Fuller?
Charlie Whitehurst?
Whitehurst was drafted late, yeah. Or maybe he was a... Yeah, but Charlie was backup for years. Yeah,
to keep clipboard Jesus and made a good living doing it. I think Spencer Rattler will be in the NFL longer than Connor Shaw. I think he's got a chance, even if it's just a backup, and we'd all take that job in a heartbeat, right? Next second to ITG. Backup quarterback in the NFL pays slightly better. Not a bad gig. I think Spencer Rattler will be in the NFL for 10 years. I don't know if he starts a ton. Part of the article I was going to read for you, the Broncos had their pro day with him, and they're very high on him. And they obviously are looking for a quarterback. And Mel Kiper pointed out in the quote that I was going to read, it's basically like, well, you know, he showed signs, and then he showed signs of not so good. He had highs and he had lows, which is most quarterbacks, quite frankly, coming out of college. Even the guys that are about to be drafted in the top five. You think Drake May didn't have any bad games? Caleb Williams was awful against Notre Dame. You know, Jaden Daniels before last year was very inconsistent.
I think Caleb Williams is going to be a complete disaster for the Bears.
You've said that a few times, and you might be right. Hey, there's still the Dan Orlovskys of the world that'll tell you point blank. They would take Drake May. They would take Drake May. And then I hear some of the carnival barkers who clearly don't like Drake May, and they're telling you that you'd be crazy to draft Drake May. I mean, he's got an NFL arm, and he's athletic and everything else. But
see, the Bears won't do it because if Mitch Trubisky had gone to Ohio Wesleyan or Boston College, I think the Bears would have given May a pretty good look. But Trubisky was a Tar Heel, and so mentally – you know, there's like, wait a minute. Can't draft another North Carolina quarterback here. I think there's something about the blue, too, that people kind of read as soft sometimes. I don't know. I don't know. I'm probably just making things up there. Lawrence Taylor, Robert Quinn, all the great defensive players they've had are like, you can go to heck, sir.
And nobody would describe LT as soft. Incredibly high at times, but dominating. As a performer,
all right. So all right,
I know we're way over time. JB is looking at that clock and saying, "Abort."
Yeah, this is going to be about an 8-minute break. So everybody, grab a cup of coffee.
No,
we've got a lot to get caught up on here, unfortunately. But don't go anywhere. We still have plenty to get to as we wrap up here on ITG. Hang tight. We'll be right back.
Tartan Day South, built by Culpeper Wood, is the largest Tartan Day celebration in the Southeast. Friday, April the 5th, three great Celtic rock bands perform at the Lexington Amphitheater. Saturday, April 6th, it's the main event at the historic Columbia Speedway in Casey, featuring Highland Games, Celtic dance, music, and food, featuring exhibits like sheepdog herding, birds of prey, and classic British cars at the largest Tartan Day celebration in the Southeast. Get your tickets now at TartanDaySouth.com.
I said, oh, Lord Jesus, it's a fire. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Disaster comes uninformed. During and after natural disasters or accidents, there can be a heavy loss to property. Having your home or office destroyed or damaged by water, fire, smoke, or mold affects your personal and business lifestyle. Resto Pros of the Midlands is here to help. Open 24/7. Call them when you need them. 803-493-0170. Resto Pros of the Midlands. RestoProsMidlandsSC.com. Quality that is guaranteed.
Down here in the South, we don't always see eye to eye. While our taste in college football teams or what sauce, if any, goes best on a rack of ribs or what to mix with our Dixie vodka might be up for debate, we can all agree there's nothing better than a Southern tailgate. And like our favorite college teams, our ingredients come from small towns and big cities. They're grown in Southern soil, are crafted by Southern hands, and proudly represent the South in our backyard and beyond. So raise a glass of Dixie Southern Vodka to celebrate being made in America and raised in the South.
Welcome home. That's what the Gamecocks say, and so does the Barn Dough Company, where they can build your dream home starting as low as $160 per square foot. If you live in the Carolinas, Georgia, or Tennessee, their turnkey process takes just 4 to 6 months on average and can be custom designed by size and details. Make your dream a reality. visit thebarndominiumco.com. That's thebarndominiumco.com. The Barn Dough Company, Gamecock, owned and operated.
When you're a developmental program, which all Group of Five schools are, and you lose a great player, that's going to hit you much harder with that next guy plugging in, because he's not there yet. He may be there. He's just not there right now.
I just recently reported about, you know, the heart issue that, but, you know, ultimately let a Big Ten stop, and originally decided not to play football. And we had reported out that story, kind of unearthing that it was because of the heart issue, potentially with
is that myocarditis?
Yeah, myocarditis.
I still had 10 scholarship offers because Chase would go play baseball and I would get a lion's share of the reps in the spring, and they're like, who's this number 17? He's pretty good.
Listen to these interviews and more on the JC and Morgan podcast by downloading the Chief Sports app. Part of the Chief Sports Network.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Gamecock Traditions, South Carolina's elite retailer for anything Gamecock related. The best selection for basketball, baseball, football, tailgating, kids stuff, and everything else. If it's got the Gamecock logo, it's got to be at Gamecock Traditions. Most importantly, they ship it to your doorstep. Order online at GamecockTraditions.com, where there's always a sale. Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com, a tradition unlike the others.
So he comes over to me and he says, listen to me. I don't want to hear one more word out of you about my refereeing today. You say one more word about my refereeing, then you're going to be thrown out of this game. And so I turned around to all my parents. I go, hey, parents, I'm not allowed to tell the ref how bad he is, so I'm going to need you to do that for me.
Oh.
He said, you
come. I'm a beggar who could use some help. I'm a seeker searching for myself. I'm a rolling stone just waiting on a friend. I'm a lover wishing on a star for another, with a broken heart to hold each other close till the end.
Nana's Porch, nanasporch.com. At Nana's Porch, they cater weddings, parties, and all kinds of special events. Their meals are served buffet style, and seconds, they're encouraged. Plus, they can bring their mobile food unit to bring on-site and serve your guests as a unique alternative for your catering needs. Inquire about rentals as well. nanasporch.com. Find them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. 336-259-7550.
Tony Pope State Farm is your go-to agent anywhere in South Carolina, North Carolina, or Georgia for the service you deserve at the price you want. So try combining your home, life, auto, and or small business insurance today. Tony Pope State Farm has been in business for more than 30 years and can handle anything you need in the tri-state area. 843-851-2222 or visit TonyPope.com today. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
It's the final few minutes of Inside the Gamecocks, the show. If you haven't checked Gamecock Traditions lately, they have the new South Carolina Yetis available for purchase. You can head to GamecockTraditions.com and have them shipped right to your doorstep, or if you're available to check in Lexington or out in at the Village at Sandhill, you can go out there and get a 30-ounce Rambler. You can get a 20-ounce Rambler. They've even got the can coolers that you can put the cans in, the tall, skinny ones and the short ones. But the Yetis are there. If you're a Yeti guy or gal and you'd like to have South Carolina's official logo on it, that is where you want to go. GamecockTraditions.com to order. I had a question earlier about Chris Mack. He's actually the new head coach. He'll be named tomorrow at 1:30 publicly, but officially signing paperwork today. Chris is being named at the College of Charleston, formerly of Xavier and Louisville, kind of swapping roles here because Chris or Pat Kelsey has taken off for Louisville. College of Charleston, they nailed this, and I really can't imagine, guys, that that Matt Roberts, who's the AD at CFC, Matt's a good guy. He's a really good guy. He's a North Carolina Tar Heel too. I don't know how long he's going to stay there before he's off to greener pastures, if you want to call it that. There's a big push for the Cougars, by the way, to go to the A-10, which I'm not a fan of when it comes to baseball at all. But there's a big push, and there will be a money angle for this, for those guys. Well,
they've already gotten into the Colonial because of basketball. Yeah, A-10's looking for somebody to replace UMass, too.
Because UMass is leaving. He's made some tremendous strides with this entire athletics department financially and from a higher standpoint since he's been on campus. About Coach Holbrook, Pat Kelsey, now Chris Mack. I mean, these are big names. It's a big deal. So Gamecock fan asked that question a long time ago, and I didn't get a chance to answer, but I did text you, Mike, the other day when I got wind was coming. This is a grand slam.
Well, I'll share with our audience the same thing I texted you back, which is I 100% agree. You just hit on the biggest and maybe the only concern, which is this like a Lane Kiffin to FAU? Like you're like a way station until the next big Power Five job. Yeah. But it's an absolute. I mean, Matt got a raw deal at Louisville. For reasons we don't have enough time to get into. He was a successful coach at Xavier before that. They took them to like 7 NCAA tournaments.
He was 215 and 97 there.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's a hell of a coach. He's a hell of a coach. And you see what Louisville did after they disposed of him and hired somebody who looked completely overwhelmed by the job. And with all due respect, could not have done a worse job taking that once proud program and driving it into a ditch. So no, it's a big time hire. Look, College of Charleston's always going to be an attractive place for a lot of coaches. It's the weather, it's the city of Charleston, which everybody loves, as you well know, Jamie. And they've had traditions. They've had wins there going all the way back to John Kress. The thing is, it's just, you don't have Power Five money. That's the only thing that separates it. Like you just, can you hold on to a great coach for a long amount of time before somebody comes knocking and the dollars just don't, you're not dealing with a fair fight there.
No, you're not. And I mean, they have money and they'll have more if they go to the A-10, but yeah, you're not, you're right. But this is a great hire. And how long does he stay here? I don't know. I don't know. I'll be interested to see how he does. I think he'll do fine. He'll go to the portal and bring in a bunch of guys. Pat Kelsey's already doing that up at Louisville. I think he's going to be fine up there, too. Pat's a great coach. Matter of fact, I'm a huge Earl Grant fan. He's such a fantastic human being. But if you ask me who's the better fit, Earl Grant at Boston College or Pat Kelsey at Louisville, it's Pat Kelsey at Louisville. I mean,
well, Pat, yeah, Pat, from an energy standpoint, it's going to be a little different ballgame than what it's been over there the last couple of years. Yeah. He's gonna get that thing into shape right quick. And the beautiful thing about the portal, for all the things we don't like about it, if you take over a job, and there's no such thing as a 3-year rebuild. It doesn't exist in football. It doesn't exist in basketball and baseball. You can right the ship at a program like that, that is always going to attract top talent, that is always going to have a bunch of NIL money, that plays in a power league. Like, they will be back before you know it.
Yeah, that's a great point. It doesn't take much to get it rebuilt anymore. It's a 1:30, 1:30 press conference. Tomorrow for the College of Charleston. For what it's worth, and I know why they don't, but the College of Charleston, College of Charleston, South Carolina, and Clemson all played in the postseason this year. I really would like to see the College of Charleston play South Carolina in basketball and play Clemson in basketball. Maybe these games would be scheduled. Maybe they won't. I don't know.
I don't think South Carolina wants to.
I know, and I disagree with that. I think they should play him. What are you losing? So you lose the game? I mean, okay.
I remember when they opened up that brand new arena, the first game ever, if I'm not mistaken, I was there. Darren Horn and the Gamecocks went in there and lost. I think it was in overtime.
Yeah.
And I could just read the English on Darren Horn's face. Why did we ever schedule this friggin' game?
Bobby Crimmins beat Dave Odom in his one of Dave's last hurrahs there at Colonial Life. I was at that game, and that's probably the only time in my life I've walked out of a Gamecock game going, man, I'm not so sad.
Yeah. Yeah. People
poor
still
Barry Sanderson had a look on his face. I'll never forget. I don't know, Barry, we're friends, but I remember him sitting on the bench, tie all out, disheveled. And he's just looking like, oh my God, we're terrible. I remember distinctly focusing in on Barry going, I feel so bad for you, dude. Bobby Crimmins came in there and beat him. So they've had some success, and Clemson never schedules.
Did they not beat one of Eddie's teams too? In like a tournament, maybe Eddie, the Charleston class.
Eddie refused to play them. He said,
"Well, he refused to play North Carolina. I know that."
Yeah, he said, "Why don't you ask? Why don't you ask Larry to play him up at Clemson? Why don't they play him?" You know,
yeah. Eddie gave two F's about what the fans thought about his scheduling.
I'm with you, JB. I like to see him play them and Coastal, and to Frank's credit, but here's what happens. All right, you go, and like the year Frank's team got off to a slow start, ended up being okay, finished 11-7 in the SEC. Wofford comes to town in November, beats him by 17. That was an NCAA tournament team at Wofford.
Oh, yeah. Fletcher McGee, right?
Beats the tar out of them. Just beats them like they were like Florida or somebody coming in there. And fans don't. They don't tolerate that. You know, it's like, you know, you should always beat Wofford no matter what. You should always beat College of Charleston. It's College of Charleston. There are still people around here that if you lose to Coastal in anything, they want your job because they're the old school, old guard. They still consider Coastal a renegade. They think about Coastal like the People's Republic of China thinks about Taiwan. That it's a renegade break-off province of the University of South Carolina that doesn't deserve anything.
Yeah.
So you got to be careful. But I'm with you. I'd like to see everybody play everybody in the state because I think there's really good basketball in the state and it could help each other.
Yeah, they should play. They should play. Carolina 4-1 all time against the Cougars. That one loss, Mike, you mentioned when they opened at the time, If I remember correctly, I think it was Carolina First Arena, but now it's TD because TD bought them. But Alan on Twitter said Sacramento did lose in Charleston, Charleston Classic, Alan, but it wasn't to the College of Charleston. So the way that they do that, the state teams rotate as kind of the host of that tournament in Charleston, if that makes sense. College Charleston is always the host. But I mean, as far as having an in-state flavor team to kind of really drive fans and things like that. Yeah, Clemson, South Carolina, College of Charleston.
Oh, I remember those three games. It was over Thanksgiving, and that's the weekend I almost just gave up. Because Carolina had beaten Clemson and NC State. And so then they go and they played Colorado State, Nico Bedved, and got slaughtered. Then they played Davidson and got beat pretty good. And then they played Furman on Sunday and got beat pretty good. And that was kind of the end of year one for Lamont Paris. was it. Yeah, he had beat like that. But I guess that Bobby Crimmins game, guys, I guess Dave and his boys did come back and actually win that game if the only loss was down there.
Yeah, that was it.
So
that
maybe that's why I was sad walking out of the arena. I was worried Eric Hyman was going to keep Dave Odom.
Yeah, they won both in 07 or in 06 and in 07 in Columbia, one by 12 and then one by 3.
I did both.
The three games. Is a 3-point win.
Mike Morgan was the voice of Gamecock basketball.
Yeah, we might have done at least one of those on TV. Maybe. And I actually did a game where John Kress was my analyst. Mm. John wanted to get into TV, and I'll never forget this. John called me up and he said, "Mike, I'm nervous. Like, I've never done it." I said, "John, you're like if anybody was ever made for TV, it's you. Your personality is like, it's natural." He goes, "No, I don't go in with that approach, Mike. I need to earn my stripes. Because would you have any problem auditioning with me?" I said, "Like, where?" He goes, "Where do you live?" I said, "Well, I'm in Columbia, Irmo." He goes, I can drive there. Pick a day." I said, "Tuesday afternoon." Drives to my house from Charleston. And we sat there in front of a TV and went over a game on my DVR and literally did a fake broadcast for 2 hours. And he said, "I feel much better, Mike. Thank you so much for doing this." I said, "You know what, John? Thank you so much for having the pride to do this and not think that you know everything like a lot of former athletes and coaches that get into TV and then they realize real quick they don't know it. Mm-hmm. And they trip all over themselves." He wanted to put the time in to at least have a better understanding of what goes into it. I had so much respect for him when he did that. Just a class great, act.
Great guy.
Super guy.
Great guy.
Great special tonight at D's. It's 75 Cent Wing Night, beginning from 4 o'clock all the way till close. And for those of you that, yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Wait. So you mean to watch Iowa beat LSU 75 Cent Wings at D's?
Not a bad deal, right? You're watching the best Elite Eight matchups in women's basketball history. I don't know if that's true, but it's entertaining nevertheless. Yeah. And that got you covered there. How about tomorrow? How about two types of tacos going on? Carnitas tacos and firecracker shrimp tacos.
Ooh.
Selling them cheap on Tuesday. So check out D's, West Columbia. Billy and the gang do an outstanding job. Makes me hungry every time we talk about them. But check them out tonight or maybe tomorrow.
Fantastic. And maybe a little matinee action if you would like to watch the Atlanta Braves, which I can't do until, who knows, 26, 27, maybe 2030. I don't know. But you can go watch them this afternoon because they throw the first pitch at 2:10 against JC's pretty awful Chicago White Sox.
I can't even go. It's raining and cold. It may not even play, but I for some reason I can't go. Every time they play the dang Cubs or the White Sox, I'm either like booked up or it's colder than you know what. I'm sick of it. I'm madder about that than the Bally Sports Network kind of thing.
Yeah.
Not because I mean, Braves at White Sox. You know, White Sox, you can sit anywhere. They got great food. You watch the Braves. Because
nobody's there.
Yeah. Especially this year because they're terrible.
Yeah, terrible.
But yeah, it's the first time they've been up here since the pandemic and all that. You couldn't go to the games during the pandemic. It's the first time they've been to Comiskey or whatever it's called. Can't go. Sucks.
Yeah. Guaranteed rate feel, I believe. Goodbye.
Yeah, I know. They call it Sox Park.
I heard it was guaranteed loss field. What do I know?
It's probably the Chicagoans call it Sox Park. Sox Park. Yeah. Beef.
Well, on that note, we have got to get out of here. Thanks to John Whittle, the Golden Tones, Mad Dog and his mustache, and Schubert in the windy and chilly Chicago. Thanks to all of you, and thanks to Oscar Attaway Jr. Best of luck to your son this year, sir, and we hope that you'll continue to watch and listen to our program. I'm JB.
We'll Oscar.
Yeah, that's right. I love that name, by the way. Oscar Attaway is an NFL name. I hope he gets there.
Frank Cush and Oscar Attaway, top picks in the draft for the next fictional movie.
I am. I'm JB. We'll see you tomorrow at 11. Served by Chicken Cock Bourbon inside the Gamecocks, the show.